You're listening to a Katie Cast. News, information, and lots of chatty stuff from Katie McAllister.
This is a behind-the-scenes look at The Last of the Red Hot Vampires, the Fifth Dark Ones novel, which was published April 2007. I will discuss some points which may be spoilers, so if you haven't read the book yet, you may want to hold off listening to the podcast until you've done so. When my editor asked me what story idea I had in mind for this book, I told her that I'd been enamored with the idea of the Court of Divine Blood, as hinted at in a previous book. I didn't yet have a name for the court, but the idea of an opposite of Abaddon was something I wanted to explore in more detail. As the ideas for the court started to solidify, I also had an idea for a Nephilim who had ended up being turned into a Dark One. And thus, Theo was born. As diehard readers of my vampire books know, there are two ways to become a Dark One. You're either born to it from an unredeemed father, or you're cursed to that state. Since I'd never really explored the latter situation, I figured it would be interesting to see the process by which someone started out normal, or in this case, a Nephilim, and ended up walking the Dark One path. I didn't want to go overboard, however, by making the hero overly whiny about his situation. That sort of emo didn't really seem to fit Theo anyway. He was well used to adversity, and although having his soul stripped from him while being made a Dark One certainly wasn't a walk in the park, I knew he wouldn't spend too much time or energy railing against his fate. He'd accept his burdens and move on. Portia was almost as easy to envision as was Theo. I knew she had to be very skeptical, with her feet firmly planted on the ground and absolutely dead certain that she knew what was real and what wasn't. Unfortunately, that meant she had to share some of my less than sterling qualities. She was very stubborn, very pragmatic, and questioned everything, pretty much just like I do. All of that made for great fun when I finally got her to the point where she had to admit that there was more to life than what she'd previously thought. I've had some questions from readers about whether or not the court is heaven. As mentioned in the book, the Court of Divine Blood was pretty much what mortals based their idea of heaven on. Although the two things are not the same any more than Abaddon is really hell. Incidentally, the court will return in Holy Smokes, as well as one of the individuals mentioned in Red Hot Vampires. I also get questions about how I create characters, and whether or not I make up character charts with info about them. I usually don't. But for some reason, with Red Hot Vampires, I made up a list of traits for both Portia and Theo before I wrote the book. I'll mention them here to satisfy those of you who wonder about these sorts of things. Keep in mind that this list was created before I started writing, so some of the traits or details might not have made it into the final product. For Portia, I have that she is a friend of Sarah. She's a theoretical physicist who does not believe in anything paranormal, whereas Sarah is all New Age stuff. Portia's out to prove to her that anything Sarah can find that she thinks is paranormal can be explained away by science and reasoning. Portia's also curious, doesn't like to be rushed into anything, likes things to be organized and structured. She likes to know what she's getting into before committing herself. She's a natural skeptic and believes there's a rational explanation for everything. She's down to earth. She calls a spade and doesn't shilly-shally around things. She believes in what she can see and touch. She doesn't take chances. She has a very methodical mind, often doesn't see the forest for the trees, and can sometimes focus on minutiae, and she's very goal-oriented. Portia doesn't want to believe in otherworld stuff because to believe in it means life is out of control and does not fit the structured world she has invested so heavily in. Curiosity drives her to consider alternatives, though, which is something that drives her nuts. Theo's list is a little shorter than Portia's. Items on it include the fact that he has a sense of obligation to himself only. He is single-minded and focused. He sees things through to the end. He's a loner and not used to working with someone else. He's also not used to protecting anyone else or having to think of their safety before his. And he's a risk taker. He has nothing to lose. As far as a story note, I had that Theo was chasing hope because she, as a virtue, had it within her power to pardon him and change him from a Nephilim to a member of the Court of Divine Blood. He had been petitioning her for a while, but to no avail. He's desperate and was planning on wooing her to see things his way when she disappeared. Those of you who've read the book will no doubt realize that the story notes I've just mentioned didn't quite mesh with the actual story. It's a good illustration of how my original idea for a story or a character can change from the time I first think it up to the time I finish writing the book. Thanks for taking the time to listen to this behind-the-scenes podcast for The Last of the Red Hot Vampires. If you'd like more information about the Dark Ones or the other world, pop over to katiemcallister.com or dragonsubs.com. And feel free to drop me a line if you have questions at katie@katiemcallister.com.